Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 22. Son of man, what is this proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? And then we come down to verse 28. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. These words highlight for us the thinking of the people of Ezekiel's day when they thought, well, what the Lord has said isn't going to happen to us. It's a way down the line yet. It's going to happen in the future, and we're safe. We're okay. We don't have to be worried. Delayed prophecy. But I want to look at that kind of thinking as we see it and know it ourselves today. Because almost daily, we're confronted with another sign or another report of a change in our climates. There are so many people telling us and evidence given before us that warming is taking place, the temperature is going up. You've got strange and freak events of weather. You've got extremes of flooding or of heat or of drought, forest fires, such like. They're all over the place for us. Now, the scientists knew about these things quite some time back, about global warming or the changes in our climate. And there was then, a way back, the possibility of a change in our lifestyle. We could have done things then to cut down the gases and to change our lifestyle and the way we lived to protect our environment and God's world. But it was costly. It would have been disruptive. So the warnings were ignored. Things will not get that bad, people said. These scientists, they're prophets of doom. And the important question, having seen the way things have gone now, the important question is, have we passed the point of no return? Have we passed the point of no return? Well, that kind of thinking that we have and we see today was the similar kind of thinking in the days of Ezekiel. The history of God's people, we've got to look at and listen to just for a few moments this morning. Whenever they came out of Egypt and they were brought to the land that God had promised them, Joshua led them, but they started to decline and go away from God. The nation lost its way and lost its purpose because it lost its foundation. They dabbled in idols and they diluted their strength. They lost that strength of their Christian faith and their faith and trust in a living God. And so the nation of God's people was divided into Israel and into Judah. All the time God was giving warnings about the way they were living. All the time God was sending his messengers to tell them of the consequences of what they were doing. Listen to this picture that is given to us of God's actions. I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to them. You can see the urgency of a man getting up early and sending his servants out on a very important mission and work. And that's the image given to us about the way God sent his prophets to warn these people. But they didn't heed the message that they were given. And so the Lord had to take further steps to correct them and to bring them to their spiritual senses. And that's what the Lord did with this nation called Babylon. If you won't listen to the warnings of my servants, then you're going to suffer underneath the sword of another nation. And they went through hard and difficult times. They went away into exile. They were taken out of the land. And they suffered severe things. And the people found it difficult to accept. Would God do this to us? They had a wrong understanding about God. As if the extreme measures and the long-term view that God had was not part of God's dealings with his people. That's not the kind of God we have, is it? And they kept on using Proverbs to shift the responsibility and get the responsibility away from themselves. Even although they were looking down the barrel of a gun, even although they saw the Babylonians coming from the north, even although they saw the dust of the horses and the imminent arrival of the invading army, just years now down the line, they try to duck and dive and bob and weave, and they say, the children have eaten sour grapes, and the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's because of something the fathers have done that we are suffering just now. They try to get out of their responsibility. And here's another one. Another proverb here. The days are prolonged and every vision's failing. The message that God has given and the warning that he's given to us about things that are going to happen, it's something for the future. The days are prolonged. It's away in the future and the vision is for yet a day to come. For a long time, God has been speaking about the judgment on Jerusalem. If you go to the prophet Amos, now he wrote a long time before all of this, but in Amos chapter 2, he speaks there about Judah and about Jerusalem, and he says there about what's going to happen to Jerusalem. It's going to be under siege. It's going to be suffering. And Amos chapter 2 was speaking 170 years before this. So, anybody who heard the prophecy of Amos and were looking, oh, the city is still standing and the years are going on, 170, 160, 150, 140, down to 100 and still nothing's happened, and 80, 70, 60, still nothing's happened. It's not going to happen at all then. And you can see how this thinking developed. The same kind of thinking that we read of in 2 Peter. It's a problem that was there in the New Testament church. They said, the Lord is going to return. And they turned around and said, where's the signs of his return? There was their message, we've got to be ready, we've got to be prepared to meet God. And that's the urgency about the gospel message that we've got this morning. You've got to be ready to meet God because you don't know when he's going to come back. And you don't know when you're going to be called. You don't know the future. Therefore, wisdom tells us to be ready. And the people of Peter's day turn around and says, where is the sign of his coming? And they were using it to justify life going on as normal. Nothing spoils us. Nothing disturbs us. Therefore, it's life just as usual, living the way we did before. We don't have to change. You see? The kind of thinking. Think of a very familiar story about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. What happened there? They all had the lamps ready and the oil in it to begin with, but then there was a delay. The bridegroom wasn't coming. And five of them just let things slip. Five of them just gave up and well, they couldn't be bothered keeping their lights going. And then suddenly, without any warning, the noise went up. Here comes the bridegroom. And there were five caught short. They were indifferent and complacent until it was too late. The Lord is saying here in verse 28, no more delays. I've given you time. I've given you bags of time. I've given you years in plenty. I've given you servants. I've given you warnings time and time and time again. But now the line has been drawn. No more.
It's going to happen, and it's going to happen now. What a message that is for ourselves with the gospel. We can hear the gospel, and we've heard it many a time. Down through the years, how often have we sat underneath different sermons, and we've heard it disturbing our souls, but perhaps by Monday morning it's passed by. Nothing's happened. We're out free and running. And we've used that as an excuse just to keep on going the way we always were. And maybe, just maybe, God is saying to us here this morning, my word is going to be fulfilled. It's going to happen just as I promised it. Let me take another example. Hezekiah, he was one of the kings, and he was very famous because he was given the guarantee of 15 extra years onto his life. And he was very thankful for what the Lord had given to him and promised to him. And some of the leaders of other nations, when he was recovered from his illness, they came to speak with him and to, we might say, congratulate him and encourage him. And when one party came, Hezekiah showed them the riches of his own kingdom and what he had. And the prophet Isaiah warned Hezekiah of the consequences of what he had just done, that they're going to be carried off into that very land of Babylon, and the very delegation that came will soon be dominating them. And Hezekiah was given a warning, not for his generation, but for his other generation. His children were going to suffer it. And you can almost imagine him wiping his brow, and he says, not for me, but for them. It's delayed. It's delayed. But it's going to come. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 20, there you find that story told for us of Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20, and especially verse 19. That's what so many people are thinking about today in the world, about global warming, about promises of God, about the spiritual realities that are urgent before us. We hear the President of the United States saying, not on my shift. Not on my shift. And that's the way we sometimes think. These things that God has promised, they're not going to happen in my time. And so I can carry on just as I was. Perhaps later, but not now. And the prophet Ezekiel is dismissing that kind of thinking out of hand. And he says, no, it's going to happen now. And so he gives to these people two very simple visual aids. You know, sometimes we learn a little bit more when we see something more than when we hear something. And that's exactly what's happening here. Here is Ezekiel, and he's got to gather all his baggage together through the day as if he's going on a journey. He's got to get ready to go out. And in the evening time, after he's been working all day, he's going to go through a hole that he's dug in the wall. And the next day, he's going to give an explanation of what he's done. Again, we have the gospel telling us what God has done. But we need the epistles to explain what that means. And so we have the two things going together. Here is the work of the gospel. This is what Jesus Christ has done. And here is an explanation of why it was necessary. Because we're sinners in need of a Savior. And we cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus can. And we need to trust in Him. And there's urgency about that invitation because we don't know how long any one of us has got. And we don't know when the Lord is returning. And therefore there is a vital issues that we've got to address and we've got to put right. Urgency. A priority with us. Well, Ezekiel did what he was told. He packed. He went through the hole in the wall. And when you go to Jeremiah chapter 39, you can do it later on. Jeremiah 39 and especially verse 4, you find exactly what he says here takes place. The king. The king goes through a gate in the wall. Well, there's a hole in the wall. And Hezekiah was to go with a bag over his head so he couldn't see the ground. And what did he do? This king went through the gate, the hole in the wall, at night time. He couldn't see the ground. So there you have the word of the Lord enacted by Ezekiel coming true exactly as the Lord said it. And that is only 4 years away from this. There's very few grains of sand left in the hourglass. The word of the Lord is getting closer and it will happen. Again, what he's got to do is he's got to eat his food with fear and trembling. Takes his drink and he's shaking and it's spilling all over the place. He can't put his food into his mouth because he's spilling it all over his face and all over his clothes. You can imagine the people that saw him. Oh, table manners? He hasn't got any. There he is, and look at what he's doing. And yet this is Ezekiel telling the people about the urgency, about fear and trembling. When the army comes, that's the way they're going to be living, and that's the way they're going to be eating their food. Because you brought the army upon you by yourselves, and there's no one to blame but you. And when that happens, you will know that I am the Lord. That phrase is repeated in verse 15, verse 16, and verse 20. You will know. You've denied it just now, but you will know that I am the Lord. Here then is a prophecy that has been put to one side. Here is a warning that has been dismissed, ignored, and people have tried to go on by it themselves. Just a few words about this prophecy. We've got many lessons. We've tried to bring them out already. How did this error arise? How did it arise, this thinking of these people? God is indeed a jealous God. And he's committed to his people and he sent his servants to warn them about what would happen if they continued rebelling against him. God constantly warns us about the way in which we are living and what we are doing. He sends different servants, different messengers, different peoples to our lives. God will not tolerate being third place. Remember what Lady Di said, there were three people in this marriage. God will not accept having three people or parties in a relationship with his people. God requires that commitment from us. He requires that trusting in himself. There was therefore this rebellion on the part of the people. And there were other prophets that came and they said something totally different to what Ezekiel was saying. There were others that said, peace, peace, don't get worried, don't get anxious. What this man Ezekiel is saying, he's a prophet of doom. Don't listen to him. Carry on as normal. Look at what God has said through us. Look at what God has said through him. Which one is going to happen? And so they rejected the words of Ezekiel. They rejected the words of the prophets. But why was there a delay? Why was there a delay in God coming to correct his people, in fulfilling his promises? Why is there a delay in the Lord's return now? Why are we given another moment and our lives are extended? Why? Because God is dealing with us and them in his patience. He's giving to them and to us another opportunity to hear the gospel and to repent of our sins. When you go to the book of Romans chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6, you find there the way in which people can misunderstand the patience of God. God's not acting. God doesn't care. God doesn't have the strength. That's what people say today. And we can carry on with our own sin and the way we're living ourselves, and no one is going to do anything about it. Misunderstanding the patience of God and the patience of God to give us time to change and to repent. But that is not open-ended. It will not go on forever. God draws a line in our life. We don't know where it is, and we don't know when we're going to meet it, but it's there. And one day we'll confront it and bump into it. But then, it might be too late. The source of the error, misunderstanding the patience of God that He gives to them, to us. When God calls to us through providence, through literature, through memories, when God calls to us through the way in which we remember passages of our Bible or sermons that we hear, when God calls to us through different ministers, different avenues, different approaches, God calling to us all the time that we should believe and trust in Jesus Christ, His Son. And so often we can dismiss these promises because nothing happens afterwards. There's warnings come that make us shake to the very core of our being. There's warnings that come that make us tremble like Ezekiel with the glass of water and the food all over his face. There are promises, there are threats that leave us scared stiff. But they pass. And we don't understand the patience of God that He gives opportunity to us to put our life in order and to trust in His Son. The source of this error. But that leads us on very simply and quickly to what is the effect of this error? What did this error produce? Well, think of it through, just for a moment. If no judgment happens. Well, if there's no judgment happens, that means there's nothing wrong. If there's nothing wrong, there's no concern. If there's no concern, there's no change needed. We'll carry on as we are. If there's no judgment, there's nothing wrong. If there's nothing wrong, there's nothing to concern about. If there's nothing to be concerned about, there's no change needed. The way people think. And that produces complacency. People settle down in the way they're living. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 48 and verse 11, Jeremiah speaks about the nation of Moab. And Moab was exactly like this. They were complacent. And he uses there an illustration that we can all understand. When you've got wine that you're trying to settle and to clarify, you let the sediment settle to the bottom. And then you scoop off the top. And you do it again and again until you get things perfect or refined and purified. But Moab wasn't being poured from pot to pot. Moab wasn't being kept on toes. Moab wasn't being always on the move, and they became complacent. Nothing to disturb them. Nothing to unsettle them. The effect of this error, it produces complacency. They thought that, well, nothing's happening. Perhaps things aren't as bad as they think they are. Perhaps sin isn't as bad as we think it is. Perhaps God's not all that concerned. That's the kind of thinking that people today have. A fearful error. What a threat that brings. What damning consequences for our souls to think like that. What an insult to God especially. He has dealt with us patiently, and we continue to do wrong. We question God's holiness, we question God's interest, we question God's power and ability to do anything. We become complacent. We must listen again. As a nation and as a people, we've got to listen again to what Ezekiel says. Don't play around with God. We said last week, don't play chicken with your soul. Let me put it another way today. Don't play chicken with the promises of God. Don't play chicken with the threats of God. Don't play chicken with the urgency of God's message to our souls. We're given time to repent, but one day that will be removed. And one day God will come as He has promised. And He will require an account from every one of us as we are and where we've lived. And the only place of protection will be underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. The source of the error, misunderstanding the patience of God. The effect of the error, complacency on the part of the people. How was the error corrected then? One simple word puts it all right. One simple word draws attention. Read verse 25. For I am the Lord. The word that is used there for the Lord brings home to us God in His faithfulness. It draws attention to the way in which He is the covenant-keeping God. A God who has spoken and He will do it. He is faithful to what He has said. A promise means nothing if it's not delivered. He will be true to it. In the days of Paul, he had a problem with the church in Corinth. And the church in Corinth were always arguing with him, and they were always throwing things in his face and making life difficult for him. And one of the things that the people in Corinth threw at Paul was, Paul, you say this, and you say that, and you go ahead and you do something totally different. Paul had a problem about his credibility. And Paul says, no. He is the representative of God. And so he must be as God is. All of the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That's what he says. All the promises will be true and will be fulfilled as they have been said. God's reputation is on the line. And where God's honor is at risk, God will act. It will happen. And it will happen soon. Only 4 years away. Remember what Peter says. God is not slack concerning promises that He makes, as men count slackness or are slack. We make promises almost every day. Yes, I'll do it. I'll be there. You can depend on me. And so often we find we cannot. People let us down because people don't do what they say they will do. But God is never like that. There is always perfect time in the way God works. The correction of the error, the faithfulness of God. We need urgency now ourselves. We need urgency about us because there is urgency in God's gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ spoken to us. We delay. We put things off. because we misunderstand the patience of God. Don't abuse. Don't misuse that patience and grace of God. People will tell us, oh, the Lord is going to return on such and such a date in such a year. And that arises time and time and time again. We've got people coming up with dates and they're waiting and they're watching. It doesn't happen. We don't know when God is going to return. But the one thing is that He will come, and therefore we need to be ready. Don't play around with what God has said, because then we'll find out too late that what God has said through His servants is true. We got off with it this time, maybe. Maybe something that we've done and we're aware that God is speaking to us and we're afraid and we're scared and we're shaking in our boots. But we got off. That only makes us bolder next time. And we lose the urgency. And we've got to recapture that. God is dealing with us in His patience. God is dealing with us in His mercy. God is calling us to His Son. Today, people will dismiss this gospel without having any relevance to where they're living. People say that you can dismiss the warnings and the threats that God gives to us. But what God says, God will do. I am the Lord, I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. It's not going to be delayed anymore. For in your days, I will perform it. God has spoken to us in the gospel, and He calls us to trust in Jesus Christ. And the great assurance is that when we trust in Him, yes, if He has said it and we've done it, we'll be safe. That's the only safe place. Underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. But the warning also stands starkly before us. If we are left to ourselves, the prospect is fearful and bleak. The best wisdom then is to prepare for that eventuality. And the best preparation that we can make is to come underneath the shadow, trust, and the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's one text, and this is the text really that has been driving me in all that I've been saying and preparing for today in preparation for next Lord's Day. There's one text that speaks, Jeremiah speaks about in chapter 4, but it also is used by Hosea in chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 and 12, and with this I'm closing. It is time to break up your fallow ground. It is time to break up your fallow ground. There you have the field of your life, and it's empty, overrun with weeds, and the ground is hard packed. And God is calling us. It's time to prepare, to plow it. It's prepare your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord. And the Lord holds out the promise that those who seek Him, He will not turn away. And He brings that with all of the urgency upon our soul. And today we have the responsibility of standing alone before God as He speaks with us. And the Lord listens carefully. How do we respond to the overtures of His grace, to the delays in His patience, to the love and to the mercy and the grace in the message of His Son, salvation for sinners? And what do we say when we're confronted with that message? Let us pray. Thank you. O Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we bless thy name for thy word to us again this morning as it has come with power and authority coming into the very center of our lives. We ask of thee, O God, that thou would speak. Speak to us privately now. Speak to us in a way that we cannot evade, avoid, or be confused over. And even as we go, and as we go into this new week, let thy word, Lord, leave us not in peace. But every time we see something that has been referred to, every time we see the gate and the wall, the glass of water, every reference to anything about the climate about us, Lord, may these be means of remembering what thou hast said to us here today. Deal with us in thy grace, O God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 31 and at verse 21. Psalm 31, 21, all praise and thanks be to the Lord, for he hath magnified his wondrous love to me within a city fortified. For from thine eyes cut off I am, I in my haste had said, my voice yet heardst thou when to thee with cries my moan I made. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, because the Lord doth guard the faithful, and he plenteously proud doers doth reward. Be of good courage, and his strength unto your heart shall send, all ye whose hope and confidence doth on the Lord depend.
And now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.